It's time for What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
Morena, Prime Minister, how are you?
Morena, not bad, how are you?
Good, level 2.5, that's where we are in Tamaki Makaurau now. And this has kind of been, I guess, a gradual step down from level 3 that we've been seeing. So this is obviously what we want to focus on this morning. I did just want to start by touching base on contact tracing and where we're at with that, because we've seen epidemiologist Sean Hendy raising some concern about the number of cases in this cluster that we've picked up through community testing rather than via contact tracing. So how confident are you, Prime Minister, in our contact tracing program?
Just to separate out those two issues, actually really confident. The contact tracing has been excellent. You'll remember from our first wave, we had Dr. Aisha Verrill, an infectious diseases specialist, come in and give us some advice on how to really tighten up contact tracing and set some standards that from the time at which we have a positive test, being able to contact trace for that person, you know, within a 48-hour period, all of the people around them. So we've been hitting the gold standard rate that she set throughout the period of this particular outbreak. The issue that Sean Hendy is raising, and rightly so, is when you have a case that comes up not through the group that you've already contact traced and then proactively tested, but when you have someone who is identified as being COVID positive by, for instance, going to their GP because they're unwell. And that usually is indication of when you've got a case that might be as yet not epidemiologically linked to your cluster. So we have had a small number of those. Sean's right, those are the ones we really do fixate on because that tells that, you know, we need to be able to link those to the cluster, be able to tell whether or not we've got a wider issue. And that continues to be a very big focus for the team. As I say, though, a small number of those relative to the cluster itself.
So we're still aiming for elimination as a strategy, but we are starting to see a shift in the way perhaps that this is being managed. It looks like we're moving away from these collective lockdowns, or not necessarily, you know, permanently away from them, but towards more of these individual behaviour changes, wearing masks, social distancing in public spaces. Are you feeling confident about the way people are taking on board these kind of cultural shifts?
Well, we need both. We need to use restrictions to make sure that we make it easier for ourselves to stop potential spread. So those things like just making sure you're not having gatherings in Auckland larger than 10 people at any given time, that's really important. But at the same time, mask wearing, social distancing, hand hygiene, staying home if you're sick, these are all tools that we need to layer up together. We haven't changed our strategy, you're right. In fact, when we designed the alert level framework, it actually says next to alert level 2, it gives a description and includes the potential for clusters and community transmission. So we've always anticipated needing to perhaps be in the situation we're in right now. Just so happens the first time we did it, we were quite successful quite quickly because of the level 4 lockdown in particular.
And so in that respect, a few people are feeling perhaps a bit nervous about moving into these lower alert levels while we do still have community transmission. Of course, that has been, as you just said, built into the alert level system. Yeah. But if we do see cases popping up across the country, what is the strategy for responding to that? Will other cities be put into a level 3 situation, or will you start to look at neighbourhood negotiations? What's that going to look like?
Well, you've already seen, actually, we've already had, during this cluster, we've already had that happen. So we did have cases in, for instance, Tokoroa during this cluster. They always remained at level 2, and that was because we were very clearly able to contact trace, isolate, and where we identified that we had cases outside of Auckland, very quickly set up pop-up testing to make sure that we were getting some good community surveillance in there as well, just to check that we weren't missing anything outside of our contact tracing system. And so that approach has worked really well and has demonstrated where, for instance, in other regions, if we do have those cases, it can be managed effectively.
Just on an anecdotal level, it's good to see lots of people wearing masks, and people do seem to be responding well to that. But we are also seeing some anxiety about students returning to school. Still a few fewer students than we would normally see back in the classroom at the moment. What would you say to parents and students, particularly those in communities that have been affected by this outbreak, who are concerned about their kids?
Well, actually, all of Auckland has been, and that's a message I want to send loud and clear, that actually great to see good mask use, but actually no one in Auckland should be complacent. We need to take an all of Auckland approach, and that includes to Aucklanders who, you know, are thinking about, you know, leaving Auckland. You just keep applying those rules to yourself no matter where you are. So just again, don't leave Auckland and go to a gathering outside of Auckland right now. That's just not in keeping with the spirit of what we need to be doing as a team. But for when it comes to students and so on, just want to again reassure people that we do have really good protocols. If we have cases that are ever connected to schools, we shut them down very quickly. We contact trace around the affected student. We do forensic cleaning of a school, and then we leave a 72-hour period before we reopen. And so that's something that we actually deployed before, and you know, right back in March, and that's what we'll deploy again. And so those systems are really good, and the Ministry of Education's been doing an excellent job with health and all of our education leaders. So really, I'm just asking for people to have faith in that system.
Now, a lot of our listeners who work in arts events and in music events obviously don't want to be compromising community health through having mass events. That's not necessarily the conversation right now, but people are wondering what signals the government would need to see before we can have mass gatherings again.
Yeah, and a lot of my friends work in that industry as well, and so this is something I've been mindful of all the way through. We worked very early on with the Ministry of Arts, Culture and Heritage, for instance, to try and make sure we were putting support into venues, and so we've had a fund there that's being administered by the Music Commission, also a domestic touring fund that was all really established to try and make sure that we were able to, once we're in a position to do so, get domestic touring going again, because that supports so much of the wider industry. But in terms of signals, you know, at the moment, because we have, you know, regional travel, the way to mitigate that risk for the rest of the country is to keep them with limits on mass gatherings outside of Auckland to 100. I know that is really limiting, though, for the arts community. What we want to get back to is a place where we're confident that we've got on top of this cluster, and then we can start gathering again. That is going to take some time. This cluster is large, our largest ever. It will have a long tail. We are likely to see cases coming out of it for, you know, some time to come. And then we would want a period of clear air, really, before we wanted to see mass gatherings again.
Just the final thing I wanted to touch on quickly is a little bit of the recovery funding. Shovel-ready projects have been a major part of the strategy of the government's economic recovery plan, but there has been a little bit of criticism that shovel-ready projects tend to fail male-dominated industries, and we already know that women have been disproportionately affected in job losses due to COVID. What strategies does the government have for a more inclusive economic recovery?
This actually has been a conversation around the cabinet table on more than one occasion, in fact, as we were looking at those shovel-ready projects. And so a couple of things that we've really thought through, actually, right from the beginning, our Minister for Building and Construction, Jenny Solesa, has been focused on how do we actually make sure that we do see more women coming into what have been previously male-dominated trades. And so that has been part of our focus, so that we don't see infrastructure as being solely the domain, or see it in a gendered way. Secondly, you know, our Jobs for Nature program, which we're running through the Department of Conservation, is an opportunity as well then to make sure, particularly for tourism, and I use Rotorua as an example there, a lot of ecotourism, perfect place for us to be grabbing what is often a younger workforce, and where they do have a real love for the whenua and love for New Zealand, and turning that into meaningful work through DOC. And finally, we actually, one of the reasons we also wanted to fund free lunches in schools is we had seen in those areas where we'd already rolled out though that program, because of the hours it requires workers for, often we were seeing women going into those jobs. And so that's a program where we're expecting a couple of thousand jobs generated by rolling out lunches in schools into different parts of the country, where I do expect we will see a number of women going into that work.
Well, thank you very much for your time this morning, Prime Minister. It's always a pleasure to have a chat. We'll talk to you again in a fortnight.
Talk soon.
Thanks. Bye.
That was What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.